Today, I'm going to tell you a quick story and explain to you exactly how the worst thing that ever happened to me turned out to be the best thing. So the worst thing that ever happened to me was related to narcissistic abuse, unfortunately, and it was when I was going through a bunch of stuff. I had just written my first book. One day, I was sitting in my office, kind of crying, because I just got off the phone with a doctor who upset me a little bit. Well, his office upset me a little bit. And I had a knock on the door. And my oldest son screams, "Mom, somebody's at the door for you." So I went to the door, and it turns out that it is a lady from CPS. Child Protective Services. And she was there to tell me about how someone had filed a complaint against me saying I was neglecting my children, I was abusing them, I was not feeding them, blah, 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 blah. Well, obviously that wasn't true. And the lady came in, looked around the house, did all the stuff. And once she decided that we weren't in fact abusing or neglecting our children, she even talked to our children, then I felt vindicated, but also still kind of like, what in the heck happened? I was scared to death when this happened, you understand, because I've heard some horror stories. Well, anyway, I asked her, could I see the paper that she had in her hand that the report had been written down on or typed down on? So I went through the report, I read the report, and then I came across the words that my oldest son had been raising his brothers and sisters, okay? Well, he didn't have brothers and sisters, he had a brother and a sister. So then I realized, I knew right then exactly what had happened, and it was that my mother had called CPS on me. And her reason was because, well, it's a long story. I won't go into the whole thing, but basically, long story short, she was mad at me, and so she made the call. If you wanna know the whole story, you can jump in at queenbeing.com/story and take a look at it. I'm not gonna go into it all today because we're not here to talk about the bad stuff so much as we're here to talk about the good stuff. But ultimately what it came down to is after I realized it was her, I called her and I said, "Don't ever call me again," and explained that I knew. And then she screamed at me something about my brother had done it. So I called my brother called me and I told him the same thing. I didn't know what no contact was at the time. I barely knew what narcissistic abuse was at the time. I had just started to really kind of dig in and figure out what narcissistic personality disorder was at this time. And it was around that time that I had been writing about it on my personal blog, and people had started to reach out to me because I had done a lot of research, and my way of processing is writing, and I thought, why not put it on my blog? So I did. Well, long story short, that's what led me here to you today. And you know, initially I had relief when I went no contact. I felt like, oh my gosh, now I can make my own choices without worrying about what anybody else is gonna say about it. Even the smallest things were an issue. But then eventually I started going through this like existential crisis because I started to realize that most of the things that I believed about myself and my life at that point they were wrong. I had perceptions that were wrong. I had perceptions that I really didn't feel or think. I just thought because I was told that this was the truth, and I just believed it for my whole life. And anyway, so going through a long existential crisis where I kept asking myself, do I really believe what I think I believe? And I had to go through all that. I continued to write about it. I continued to talk about it. Eventually, I jumped on YouTube. That was only about 4 years ago. And when I first got here, of course, as a lot of you know, I was one of just a few people talking about narcissistic abuse recovery. And I really helped a lot of people, as I think to date, my subscriber number is 121,000 or something like that, not to mention the emails and the websites and all the other things I do. So what it all came down to is I found myself in a live stream one day talking about how this had all happened to me, and I found myself saying, "I'm really grateful for that moment." And I was like, even in the moment, I was like, why would I say that? That's a weird thing to say. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was so sick about it for months afterwards because I knew that my mother was toxic. I knew that she didn't like me as a person, but I really always believed her when she said, like, family's first, and we always, you know, we stick together. And that's part of the way she kept me stuck to her for so long, was that she made me feel some kind of guilt or some kind of, I don't even know, obligation to her by saying these things to me, these messages that we're family, we stick together, we got each other's backs, blah, blah, blah. And yet this family member thought it was appropriate to, in anger, because she wasn't getting what she wanted from me, to call CPS and risk my children being taken from me. It was just too much, right? So when I found myself saying, I can't believe, you know, I'm grateful for, I am grateful for that moment, because it was that moment that led me to you today. It was that moment that made me think, you know what? I really need to talk about this. People need to know about this. And if I hadn't done that, I couldn't have helped all the people that I've helped. I couldn't have done all the things I've done. And I couldn't be where I am today. And so that is how the worst moment in my life became the best thing that ever happened to me. So what do you think about that? Tell me in the comments. At that moment when I had my worst moment in my life, I truly was devastated. I talked about what happened in brief detail today. I felt completely devastated and betrayed and ruined and like horrified. I can't even tell you. I was sick for weeks after this happened physically because I was so shocked and horrified by what happened. Nancy says, that was low down what your mother did to you, but look how far you've come. Yes, exactly. I've come so far. And I've learned a new kind of independence. It's a beautiful thing, my friend. Thank you. She said, I'm thankful for you and I'm thankful for you too, Nancy. Here's the thing. That's the thing. That was just one moment. I could tell you a lot of other moments. And if you want to read the whole story, like I said, I wrote it over at QueenBeeing at queenbeeing.com/story, that part of it. And just recently I released like a private video that in which, you know, it's a whole narcissistic abuse recovery seminar, but inside it's only 37 minutes long, I think. But inside of it, I also talk about what happened with my ex-husband, which is very embarrassing and shameful and humiliating and stuff. So I didn't really want to put that on YouTube. Plus also YouTube kind of cuts me off when I talk about the intimate stuff. So you can check that out. If you want to go to queenbeeing.com, there's a little yellow box that'll pop up on the top right now, just right on the front page. If you click that, you can watch that video. Jen says, oh, the guilt. Family sticks together. Heard that my whole life, right? The guilt. I know, girl. I know. Jedi Frogmaster says, dealing with toxic people, as in the narcissistic species, is like dealing with a drowning victim while they try to take you down with them. Yeah, that's true. And I heard another thing today that I thought was, and I've heard it before, but a lot of us harbor a lot of anger. And I do believe that anger can be really, really productive to push you forward, propel you forward away from toxic people. That is exactly what happened to me. First there was devastation, but then there was anger. And when it comes to my kids, I'm like a mama bear, watch out. Like, I'm the most laid back person you'll ever meet in real life, but if you mess with my kids, I will come at you. And the only thing I could think of in that moment with my mother was to protect my kids. So I, instead of coming at her, I cut her off, and that was actually a healthier thing to do. But because I did have a lot of anger for a long time, and someone said something to me that really kind of made me think, and it was, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I think that's really powerful. So yeah, I had a ton of anger, and when I realized that, it really helped me to get free when it was time. But like I said, don't do that too soon, because if you're still in the relationship or still connected to that person, you may need that anger to propel forward. I certainly did. Beth says, I hope to say I'm grateful I'm going through this someday. It's tough when it's the father of your kids. I feel like he capitalizes on the fact that I have to keep everything private while he digs in. Otherwise, I'd write all what he's done. She said, I love writing as well, Miss Angie. Yeah, writing about it is very therapeutic. Here's the thing. I have one client who I love dearly, who I've been talking to for a long time. At this point, I've kind of just become her life coach. She's mostly healed, but still going through a few, you know, final things. She told me recently, she said, I was so mad at you when you told me that one day I would look back and be grateful for this moment. She said, I couldn't believe you said it. It was so insensitive, I thought. And she said, and now I get it, and you're right. And now every time I talk to this beautiful woman, she tells me, I'm so grateful for you. And it's because it takes time to get to the part where you're grateful. It does, because it's hell to go through this stuff that we go through. But when we do intentionally heal and we focus, I promise you, you will. You'll look back and go, okay, I get it now. So don't think I'm insensitive. Don't think I'm being a jerk. I'm being honest. It really does come to that point eventually. Amber said, yeah, I know they use emotional blackmail. They certainly do. And when it's our parent who does it, it's literally like for our whole entire lives. They start early on the conditioning. That's why I did that one video a while back called Challenge Your Conditioning. Because we need to. We need to. Violet says, my mother is similar. Realizing that all the genuine love you gave was never returned is a shock. But the truth is what sets us free, ultimately. That's it in a nutshell. That's it, girl. Because you know what? It is horrible. When you really, like I said, I knew she wasn't thrilled with me as a person. I knew she didn't like me very much. But I really believed her when she said, you know, family supports family. I got your back. No matter what, blah, 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 blah. Lies, y'all. Straight up lies. When it was the first minute that I stopped listening to her, because if you read the whole story, you'll see why I stopped doing that. The first minute that I stopped bending over and saying, okay, mom, whatever you say, that was the first minute that she attacked me in a way that could have destroyed my life. And it just, I know it sounds like it's not that big of a deal, but you guys, if you've ever experienced somebody coming to your door and telling you you're a bad parent, it's horrible. I never in a million years thought that my career would be built on talking about what horrible things happened to me in my life and how I healed and how I can help other people heal. But this is what people resonated with me on. This is what people needed me to do. And I kept trying to walk away from it. And the universe kept being like, come back. Here, I'm gonna throw this in your lap real quick. And here I am today, and I have no regrets. Sometimes we just have to look at something from a different perspective. You know, if something keeps being thrown in your lap, maybe you need to see it from a new perspective and see what you can do. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't horrible things. Obviously, horrible things happen, and you should work through those things, and you should do your best to heal. You can't be happy all the time. Nobody expects that. I do believe in positive vibrations, but I also understand that when you are in the depths of the abuse and of even getting through the after effects, sometimes it's almost impossible. And I would never put someone in a position to feel wrong for not feeling positive in any given moment. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to try to feel neutral if we can. But instead of, before we even get to that point, we must allow ourselves to feel the feelings. That was one of the biggest mistakes that I made in recovery, was not allowing myself to feel the feelings. Because my gosh, when I left my ex, I had a baby. He was 16 months old, and all of a sudden I was a single mom. I was scared to death. And I just, I had to keep going. And while I tried to release the emotions, my mother told me to get over myself. These are the choices that you have made, she kept telling me, and I was not allowed to cry. I was not, you know, so she basically shamed me for having emotions at all about this, because it was such a bad choice I made to get married to this person in the first place. And so I, for a long time, shoved it down until, ironically, she did what she did to me several years later. And I ended up, well, it was almost, gosh, it was 10 years later. And I ended up going into contact with her, and that gave me the freedom to go ahead and feel all the emotions that I had not felt up to that point. So, you know, whatever it is, I'm just saying, we all go through stuff, but before you get to the point where you're feeling positive all the time or most of the time, you have to let the emotions happen, or you will never, ever fully let go of them. And it took me a decade to figure that out. So save yourself a decade and let the emotions flow first. So if you are in a position where you're stuck with a narcissist, whether they're a parent or a spouse or a brother or sister or friend, coworker, whatever, if you are able to go no contact with that person, or at least very low contact with that person, do it. Do it. Whatever it takes, because it will make your life better. It will. And I know in some cases we can't go fully no contact. We have kids with people or whatever. But if you can, do it. And if you can't, go low contact and only talk to them about the business of what you have to talk to them about. And don't give them any of your emotion. Once they realize they're not going to get any supply from you, they will eventually move on and try to bother somebody else or try something different. But really what it comes down to is forming stronger boundaries, learning how to stand behind your boundaries, learning that just because you're in love with someone doesn't mean they get to step over your boundaries, right? Know what your boundaries are, have them in place, have deal breakers for any relationship you get into, and stand behind them. Don't allow somebody to make you into something that you're not, or to make you, you know, allow them to step over your boundary or push into your boundary without consequences. Like, for example, my deal breakers are, don't hit me, don't physically or mentally hurt me or my children, don't cheat on me when I'm in a romantic relationship. And if any of those things happen, the consequences, I'm out and there's no talking about it. I will not talk about it. I will be done. Bye. That's it, right? Well, there are other things that might make me leave, but those things are deal breakers. Anything else, I will talk about it first. But when you have that kind of a system in place where you know what you will and won't accept in a relationship, then you're putting yourself in a position of strength, especially if you stick to it and you don't allow someone to walk all over you and treat you like you don't matter, because you do matter.